Golf Smarter number 257, published on November 16, 2010.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Director of Business Development Tiffany Nelson at TPC Scottsdale.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading the Golf Smarter podcast. This episode of Golf Smarter is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature that include fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Today's show is also brought to you by our next Golf Smarter adventure. Whether you plan it as a gift for Christmas, Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa, for yourself or for someone else, your year-end bonus, or a Valentine's Day weekend getaway, make your plans to join the Golf Smarter community for 4 days of fun in the warm Arizona sun as we play golf, make new friends, and more between February 9 through 13, 2011. Deadline for reservations is January 7th. A month or so ago, my wife and I went to Scottsdale for a weekend to visit and scope out all the great opportunities that are available to us in Scottsdale. And did I mention that we encourage you to bring your spouse or partner, whether they play golf or not? My wife doesn't play, but she's looking forward to the alternate activities that include a day hike, shopping, and getting another chance to spend a day at the Fairmont Scottsdale Princess world-class Willow Stream Spa, which will happen for anyone and everyone who wishes to luxuriate during our adventure. And as we get closer to the event, I hope to introduce you to many of our hosts for that weekend. And today we start with the big one. We're going to play four great courses, but the most notable is probably the stadium course at TPC Scottsdale. Our guest today is the Director of Business Development, Tiffany Nelson. Our round is going to take place on the Saturday morning, only 6 days after the completion of the Waste Management Phoenix Open. You may have had a chance to play a course that has hosted a PGA Tour stop, but have you ever played there when the conditions are set up for the tour? Or when all the grandstands are set up? The photo opportunities and the wagers are going to be endless. Anyway, I played golf there with Tiffany, and after our round, we sat outside the clubhouse and conducted this interview. She is a blast, so let's meet her now. Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Tiffany.
Thank you.
So good to have you on the show. Tell me what it is. You are the Director of Business Development for TPC Scottsdale. So let's talk first about TPC Scottsdale, and then we'll get into the what it means to be Director of Business Development. Tell me about TPC Scottsdale and what makes it unique among the many great golf courses in Scottsdale.
Sure. TPC Scottsdale is a PGA Tour facility, which means we host one of the PGA Tour events, Waste Management Phoenix Open, which will be January 31st to February 6th of 2011. And it will actually be in 12, our 25th anniversary for hosting the Phoenix Open, which has had many names now over the 25 years. But TPC Scottsdale is the second stadium course in the PGA Tour portfolio, meaning Dean Beaman, way back when, was a commissioner of the PGA Tour. And back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, you used periscopes to watch over the crowd so you could see the guy putting. And you'd miss a lot of the golf if it was crowded. And he really had this vision that was beyond anybody else's. But he'd go to a basketball game and it was stadium seating. You go to a football game, stadium seating. Everybody could see every single play. And he's like, why can't we bring this to golf? And so the first course was TPC Sawgrass, and they have the stadium, which hosts the players. And then they came here for TPC Scottsdale, and it's the stadium course. So I think with the whole history of TPC Scottsdale and the tour event, which you can't play another course here that hosts a PGA Tour event year after year, so in the state of Arizona. So that's what is so unique about TPC Scottsdale. And especially come November 1 when we start building the skyboxes and, you know, and then come January 31st when everything is built, that atmosphere is something you will never find in another golf course.
They say it's the biggest party in golf.
It is. It is the number one attended sporting event in the world. Over the week event, we usually have, our average is about 550,000 people. It's crazy. It is a madhouse. And Saturday, obviously, is the biggest day, Friday and Saturday. But we'll get 180,000 people through on the course in one day on a Saturday. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. I'm usually in my office and I lock the door.
But why is it? It's not just another PGA Tour stop. There's obviously a lot more that you guys present. What makes it that is so crazy about this PGA Tour stop?
Well, and I think the Thunderbirds that actually run the event, we just give them the golf course. We hand over the golf course. And the Thunderbirds is a charity organization that has been in the Valley since 1934, founded by Barry Goldwater. And the Thunderbirds do a great job of, one, entertaining their clients, the corporate clients. They know how to say, hey, Tiffany and Company, which I love, you know, come and buy a skybox and host your clients and host them here at the golf tournament. So it's a great venue for corporations to come and host their clients. Another end, you're in Scottsdale. And if you know about Scottsdale at all, it's to be seen. You go out to be seen. So the crowd here, probably 65% don't watch golf and will never see a golf shot. So it has formed itself into this party atmosphere and a place to be seen. So I think just a combination of everything, and you kind of know, okay, not everyone's into golf, but how can we get them here? They've done that, and they do it very well, and they're one of the largest charity organizations for the PGA Tour.
And there are activities around the event as well that the public's invited to, things that are not on the course but in town?
Somewhat in town, but like on Tuesday, we have the Special Olympics putting green. We do a huge junior golf thing on Monday. And then, of course, the Bird's Nest afterwards, which is once the sun goes down, the last putt drops, everyone goes across the street to the Bird's Nest, and you have bands play. Who was OAR has been here the last 2 years. So they're huge name bands. A lot of cover bands, which they're still fun, but you go from here to be seen, and then you go to the Bird's Nest to be seen. But in all of that, the great thing about it is they're raising money. So it's not just a party, but there's a mission behind it, and they raise a lot of money for, you know, children's organizations around the Valley.
Oh, that's fabulous. So it's really because it's Scottsdale that sets it apart and makes it so much fun.
Absolutely. I don't think you could go to Canton, Ohio and, you know, have a golf tournament, or even, you know, the John Deere Classic in Silvis, Illinois. You just don't have the people. So here, Dallas is another big one. The Byron Nelson does, you know, great, tremendous job of getting a lot of people involved. And I think Scottsdale, with all the population that we have, especially with the weather in January and February, you can't miss it. And you have a ton of visitors. It's a main attraction.
You kind of slipped in there that Saturday is the biggest day. I don't know of any other PGA Tour stop that Saturday would be the most popular day to attend. The reason being?
Nobody has to work the next day.
But Sunday, your attendance is usually much lower, correct?
Yes, and that's because we fall on Super Bowl Sunday. And the only the only time it hurts us is when the Cardinals actually make the Super Bowl. Who knew? As in 2 years ago. So 3 years ago, we actually hosted the Super Bowl, which was huge. Actually, Sunday was actually still pretty good because not everybody gets tickets to the Super Bowl. So they still stayed here. They were here for it, but they stayed. And then the year that the Cardinals went to the Super Bowl, this place was a ghost town by two. That's the only time it really hurts us. But we're one of the stronger events that can actually compete against them.
Yeah. Why would you want to? I mean, now you're speaking for the PGA Tour, I guess, because you're TPC. Why would you want to compete against the Super Bowl?
Well, we don't really even compete. I mean, we're done. Our last
on TV, you do.
Right. No, our last putt drops. The winner drops at 4 o'clock, and the game starts at 5. So we don't really compete. Now, we compete with the parties, the pre-games, you know, all that stuff. But especially when you get Phil Mickelson in a playoff, and, you know, he's going to maybe win the tournament, this place is still crowded. And then people go to their games. So we really don't compete with them on TV. Because by the time the final putt drops, they're just going to start kicking off in about 15 minutes after that.
Fascinating. All right, now let's talk a little bit about the business development side. And I'm sure most people have an understanding of what a director of business development does for their company, but everybody's seems to be unique. What is it when you're working for a golf course that's associated with a tour, but only one weekend a year, the rest of the year you've got to generate business? What kind of business are you trying to generate? What is it that a director of business development for a golf course does?
That's a very good question. It's very loaded because there's a lot that I do that you're like, oh, yeah, I do that too. But, you know, the main thing is, how do I get a golfer to come play TPC Scottsdale? And in their visit of, let's say, 5 days, they're going to plan on playing at least averages three courses, stay in about 4 to 5 days. So how do I get one of my courses? I have two, Champions Course also, which always gets ignored because the stadium overshadows it.
Oh, you have a second course here?
I do have a second course.
We only played one round of golf.
No, we only had one. But so how do I get TPC Scottsdale in their mix of three rounds? And that's really what my job is to do. I figure it out, and that has to do with wholesalers, meaning like a golf zoo or a golf pack, those types of people. Hotels around the valley, getting them to send their visitors here. Corporations in the valley, out of the valley, coming to visit, you know, whatever it might be, I need to get them here. We have an annual fee program, so I'll just call them members, their annual fee. And, you know, we have about 136 of them. That's another aspect of it, you know. And then to really maximize the tee sheet, I mean, I'm looking and dissecting my tee sheet 24, 48 hours, 72 hours out, seeing, okay, this is peak time, this time's open, what can I offer here to fill that? 12 o'clock seems to be a very easy time for people to leave work and come out and play. 12 to 1, don't really need too much specials, but that 11 o'clock, how do I get them out here early to, you know, maximize the 11 to 12 o'clock? So I do that. All the marketing specials, email blasts, any online rates, any our website, you know, any of that, Facebook, all the social media, got to do that. So that's part of my job.
Now we're going to get back to more of our conversation with Tiffany Nelson, Director of Business Development for TPC Scottsdale. But I need to take this moment to thank our sponsor, Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For Golf Smarter listeners who have yet to give Audible a try, Audible would like you to try a free audiobook so that you can hear for yourself how great the experience of reading an audiobook can be. I do say reading because even though someone's reading to you, you are consuming the book. With this offer, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter and choose any audiobook from their vast library of 75,000 titles across all types of literature, and that includes fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, and of course, golf books. Now, the book I'd like to suggest this week is an audiobook you may want to consider. It's called And Then Tiger Told the Shark, a collection of the greatest true golf stories ever told by Don Wade. That could be yours for free, and all you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. That's AUDIBLE, audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Now we continue our conversation with Tiffany Nelson.
When we think of seasonal golf, mostly we think of those people who can only play 5 or 6 months a year because of wet weather, snowy, you know, snow on the ground, they can't come out. Is this obviously can be a 12-month-a-year golf course, but
absolutely,
during the summer, I mean, your business has got to change, right?
Yes, it definitely does. One, the rate changes. You know, the rate, I mean, when we're 110, you know, our rate on the stadium course.
And that 110 is the temperature, not your rate play golf.
That's not our rate. It is the temperature. You know, the stadium course is $75 in summer. It's $299 in season, January, February, March. And that does come with a four caddy. But still, there's a big difference between when our weather is 80 and when it's 110 degrees. But the Champions course, so is another great course, and I'll tell you the difference. In this season, January, February, March, November, December, kind of, we're looking at visitors. We're looking for the East Coast, the Minnesotans, you know, Illinois, those people that are trying to get out of the snow to come visit us. They play the same course because you want to be able to play, you know, where the PGA Tour plays. You can't go down to U.S. Airways Arena or whatever it's called now and put on Steve Nash's jersey and play hoops with him. You can't go to Bank One Ballpark or Chase, I call them all the old names, Chase, where the Diamondbacks play, put on Randy Johnson's jersey and pitch. But for golf...
Did you get... Randy Johnson retired 2 years ago. What are you doing?
He was a Diamondbacks when we won the national championship. Okay. So, but
national
you...
Now you're in college again.
Well, you know, whatever I'm talking. So, but with the PGA Tour, this is what's neat about the course is you can actually play where they play. And you can wear what they wear, and you can have a four caddy just like they do.
But you can't score like they score.
Well, you could.
And you can't play from where they play. You don't play from the same tip.
You can't play from the tips. It would not be a very fun golf course for most of us, though. So in this season, we're looking at visitors for the stadium course. In the summer, we're looking at locals. We really heavily rely on locals. Californians are a huge group for us, too, also in the summer. Champions Course is a little bit different because we're both owned by the city of Scottsdale, but they mandate the rates over there, so it's really their city course. So residents of Arizona, if you have an Arizona driver's license, the top rate that you'll get there and pay is $76.50 in season. So that places locals most of the time. But once I get a visitor going playing Champions Course, they will always come back and play Champions Course. It's a very fun course to play. We redid it in 2007. We put a $12 million renovation into it. Totally redid it. It was a desert course for any of you that are, you know, familiar with the desert course. And it was pretty flat. Just we could get through 100,000 rounds a year on the desert course. And it just kind of took its toll. It was time we redid it. So in 07, we closed in January, reopened in November, and re-sculptured undulation in the greens, really put some accents into it, and it's one of the courses that you play and you're like, wow, that was really fun. Like, it's just a fun course to play, and we're really proud of it. And it hosts the final stage Q School for the Champions Tour every other year, and the opposite year it goes to the East Coast, so it comes back here.
I know this is gonna be a loaded question, and I apologize for throwing a softball here, but Scottsdale's got some great golf. There are a lot of great golf courses. Why is this the best one? I mean, what sets this one apart other than those three initials? But what sets this golf course apart from, and I'm not even going to name off, competitors?
As I said before, our biggest draw is the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And being able to play where the PGA Tour plays is huge. And that's what people, they see it on TV, they're like, oh, I want to go play. Or they come play, and then they watch it on TV and go, oh, I was there, I got out of there, or I went into the bunker, you know. So they can relate when they see the tournament, when they see the guys playing. That's our biggest draw, especially in season when the stands are up and everything. You get that feeling of what they feel like. It's an amazing, incredible feeling. And I always compare it to, and I'm very, not numb, but because I'm here employed at TPC Scottsdale, I get to play it. But I compare it to Pebble Beach. I don't get to play it. I've played it once in my life, and I remember walking down the front first tee with my caddy going, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, I was on this high, and that's how people feel here because it's the same feeling.
I'm not going to let you compare it to Pebble and say it's the same feeling.
No, it's the same feeling as you get to walk where the PGA Tour players walk. Yes, we do not have an ocean yet until California falls off, which it won't. I'm just kidding. No, but we don't have that ocean or Pebble, but that's what I related to, and that's how people come out and play.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how did you get this gig? Where'd you come from?
I came from Illinois and played golf at Purdue University, and 2 weeks after I graduated, I never wanted to go pro. I just hate to practice, so that wasn't going to get me very far. And I wanted to be in the industry. It's my passion. It's what I love to do, and I'm so fortunate to be able to do what I love. And I have been out here in Arizona for 15 years doing something forever in the game of golf. If it's the technology side, if it's the golf package side, if it's an individual golf course, if it's overseeing, you know, director of sales and marketing for 7 golf courses. And then I even went off on my own for a year and did great golf outings, tried to help charities raise money for their events. But I found I was very lonely. I like to work with other people. And then this position opened with the PGA Tour, and I jumped on it.
Yeah. And what did you study at Purdue?
Restaurant and hotel with an emphasis in country clubs. Yeah. So it was really, I did my internship in Carmel, Indiana at the Woodlands Country Club, and I did every aspect of the private club, and I loved it. Except when I found out I had to spend like every holiday with the members, I was like, yeah, not so much. Let's go to public, you know? So that's my only, you know, but I found out what I love, and this is probably one of the best courses to, you know, work at, especially with the tournament and all the media and all the coverage. I mean, it's just right up my alley.
It's interesting that you grew up playing golf, obviously, so you were good enough to compete on the college level, which is really interesting, but knew that playing professionally was not going to work for you, that you didn't want to do that, but still able to make a career in the golf industry. How difficult do you find that it is for women to get careers in this industry?
It's very tough. Obviously, it's still very male-dominated at the club level. Not, you know, LPGA is doing great, but it's still male-dominated. And I'm probably one of the few females. There's probably 20% of us out of, you know, 80% male and 20% female. And it's all in who you know. Don't let them ever fool you. It's who you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Especially, and it's such a small world. It's such a small world in the golf industry. I could go to California and know someone, you know, or Texas. And but it's, you know, when you play and you get the respect of the guys that you're playing with, they're like, okay, she can really play. I think it kind of turns around, and now they respect me. And I've been very fortunate with all of my jobs.
And so what kind of advice, you probably have young women coming to you saying, how do I do it? What do I do? What do you tell them?
Learn as much as you can. Take any position that will always help you move up. I have had so much different golf background, like media. I did ESPN radio for 5 years. I was on the Golf Channel a couple times, so I have that media aspect. I did golf packages. I ran Scottsdale Golf and Lodging, so I know how to package it with a hotel and 5 other courses and what people are looking for when they come in. I did technology. So when you go on a website and you book a tee time online, that technology, I sold that. I sold it all through California. So get as much experience about the industry as you can. Not just working in the golf shop or just doing merchandise, but grasp it all, especially when you're young, and just take it all in and do all that you can.
But you still had to battle sexism along the way. I'm sure it's just rampant.
You know what? I've been very fortunate. I really haven't. I get along with guys very well. I probably am more like a guy than I am a girl. Not in a bad way, please. I am still a female. But
she's a female. I can guarantee this.
But, you know, I like college football, and I love sports, and I play.
Yeah, and during our round today, you were on the BlackBerry most of the day checking college football scores. It just cracked me up.
I was. So I think, you know, I've always meshed well with guys. So I really have not had many instances. Of course, I've had a few, but, you know, I've been very blessed.
Well, and you got game. I mean, you can definitely bring it out on the golf course and shut. Oh, is that right? I didn't even ask you. I was just thinking, like, you know what? I never even asked you what your score is.
I won. That was it.
I played pretty well today. I was pretty happy the way I played. So I only had one double bogey. So that's pretty good.
That's very good.
But nobody birdied anything.
We didn't birdie anything. Our putts were not good at all. We were just short, and I probably lipped out 3 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, but it was a lot of fun, and it was... We started at 8:30. We were going to start at 10:30. We started at 8:30, and that was a really smart move because it was quite warm today.
And it was busy, so I'm glad we got out before the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is the state of women's golf in college these days, and how do young women who are interested in playing college golf, what kind of advice do you give, and what is going on there?
I think, you know, for high school golf, here on the West Coast is much different than the Midwest. It was not very big where I grew up, so I played on the men's high school team because we didn't have a female team or a women's team. So I was third on the men's, and by my senior year, I got three other girls to join, and we competed as a women's golf team, and they still have it today at my high school. So, but what I would do is keep playing, and it was my dad who got me into the game, you know, and we go to the first tee on Saturday at 3 and, you know, just go play, and I had a great time, and I just really kept at it. And if it is your passion and you don't have a women's team, but most people out here in the West Coast do, you play on the guys' team. Even if you're fifth or sixth, just go play, and you learn, and you learn a lot about yourself, not just the game of golf, but about yourself. And if you are competing, and, you know, I did a lot of the Illinois Junior Golf Associations, or, you know, AJGAs, which are the very high competitive, 13 to 16 year olds that are very well, very good golfers. But I would do some of those. Go into your local, Arizona Golf Associations, wherever you live. They have tournaments. And it just gets you in that mindset, and you're going to be shaking your knees on the first tee, because that's what I still do if I ever play in tournaments, but it gets you in that mindset of being able to compete. And so when you go to a college level, you know, when you're a junior, you're going to be sending out your videotapes, or I guess not tapes anymore, it's probably DVDs, and, you know, much more high tech now at this. Here's my YouTube video, just download it, you know, to coaches and that kind of stuff. But start when you're a junior and start doing that, and keep track of every tournament you've played in, what you've done. I kept a journal. I was kind of anal that way, but I wanted to see, was I improving? What was I playing in? But it was good to know, because the coaches wanted to know, what have you done? Where have you played? And then I already had it all down. So,
what do college coaches look for? Do they look for people who played the junior golf or high school golf, or both, or, you know, one versus the other?
Definitely high school golf, but definitely tournaments in the summer. So any of those, like the IJGA, Illinois Junior Golf Association, any of those you can get in, they'd love to see. Even if you placed 110th, just get in and into it, because they know you're competing and you get that feeling. So they look at your junior golf, your history, have you won, you know, what is your swing like? And they take it all into consideration, yeah.
And we talked about young women coming up playing in college. Let's talk about the state of women's golf today. And I don't mean the LPGA Tour. I'm talking about women coming out. We talked to Pam Swenson, who is CEO of the Executive Women's Golf Association. And of course, she's going to pump it up a little bit. But what's going on? I mean, you obviously see people coming out here. Do you see a lot of women playing this course? And what is going on? What do you see?
You know, because we're a destination where people come to visit, we do see a lot of women. We see a lot of husband-wives or boyfriend-girlfriends or a group of women. You know, we do packages for spa and golf for women. You know, so we do see a lot of women out here, which might be a little different. But I know even back in Illinois, where the club that my parents belong to, you know, there's a ton of women that play. So I think the state of women is actually probably growing, compared to the men's, that's probably pretty stagnant.
And the state of the industry right now is?
We're on an incline. Not a huge one, but we're on an incline. And that's always good news. It's not on a decline.
Which it has been for a while, right? I mean,
years. Since really 06, after December, going into 07, it was still good, but every year then it's just kind of declined and declined and declined, at least in Arizona, then the housing. And, you know, now people are not going to spend money, and golf is really just a recreation for most people. So to spend that type of money is not something they're going to go out and do lightly. So we got to make it, you know, worth their value to come out and play, and show them why they do want to come out and play golf at any course. But we do. This year is the first year we've seen a good incline, and that's always a good thing.
But when is the last time a new course was built in the Scottsdale Phoenix area? Ooh, her face right now. She's totally stumped. Is there any new development going on in this area for golf?
No. There has not been a new course built in Scottsdale. Probably the latest one was Weekapaw over in Fountain Hills, but I mean, not in a long time. You're seeing them close more, or privates going to public, than building. Mm-hmm. In Arizona, in Scottsdale, you know, that's the market I know. I don't really know outside. I'm sure some are being built, but not here.
Okay, so you watch me play 18 holes. I need some advice. Help. What did you see in my game? What can I do to, and give me some tips.
My only tip I will give you, because I'm not an instructor, and I never say I am. I know my swing, and that's it. But the one tip I always do, you were standing on the left side of the tee box every time, and your air shots were left out right. Stand on the right side, and you'll tend to come through it better.
Thank you. That was a good one. Every time I'm on the left
side. You are always standing on the left side. It's something I notice because I do that. And I know when I stand on the left side.
I was thinking and I was holding the microphone and I'm going, wait a minute, there was definitely, like, I think it was on 17. I was on
the left side.
I was on the right. I
walked in front of you. So you were picking up your tee and I was just on the right side of you.
Because I really think that I bounce back and forth, but I don't.
No, you were pretty much on the left. So that's just a little something, because I know I can do it. But if you're leaking the ball, I would always say, make sure you're standing on the right side of the tee box. And that helps you get through it.
Does it really?
Mentally. It's where you're looking, where you're aimed.
Yeah, but I think of it like a bowl when I'm bowling. Like, if I'm going to go for the 10 pin, which is on the far left, I'm going to start on the far right, not the far left. So when I'm looking down a fairway and I know that my target is to the right side of the fairway, I'm going to want to stand on the left and go, you know, go cross the fairway, as opposed to try to stay down one side of the fairway. So,
but if you're slicing the ball, this will help you get through it.
Awesome. All right.
Let's try it.
See? Hey, well, then that's why I needed 30 minutes to talk to her, because I needed to sneak in one way for me to get a tip that I hope helps everybody.
It's just something I do, so I know, and it's easy. I don't, you know, you don't have to move your hips, move your feet, change your grip, whatever. It's just something that's very easy to pay attention to when you get to the green, or what your ball flight is doing. If I'm drawing the ball, then I can come back to the middle. If I'm not, I'll stand more to the right. So just try and let me know.
Will do. Okay, now, there's a possibility that we're going to bring Golf Smarter audience, members of the Golf Smarter audience, out of the Midwest and out of the Northeast and from around the world, and we're going to bring them here to TPC Scottsdale, hopefully get to play the stadium course. Why should people come and spend a couple days with us playing golf?
Because it's going to be 80 degrees and sunny and no snow. So that's why you want to come to Arizona, you know?
But we want to play golf. Make the invitation.
Golf? Oh, yeah. Golf is, you know, a given here. You know, we're going to have our ryegrass. The greens are going to be, you know, in tip-top shape. You know, and with the skyboxes up, and you can't beat. If you are a true fanatic of golf, this is one place you're going to want to play.
If we get to come out the week after the Waste Management Phoenix Open, will the skyboxes still be up?
Oh, absolutely. They'll be up until about March 31st. Yeah, they take like 3 months to build and about a month and a half to get down.
Awesome. I think that would be so much fun because, you know, it was interesting playing the course today and seeing the stadium feel of all these holes, but actually have the skybox built around, that would be a lot more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy feeling, especially on one. The one tee box is enclosed, you know, with, you know, open seating. Anybody can go, but you just have people right there. And it's a great feeling. It's really neat to try. You know, these guys do it week after week. You're like, how do they do it? I mean, it's just nerve-wracking. And we don't even have 1,000 fans. You know, number 16 seats 23,000 people. We didn't have anyone there today, you know, but it was, think of 23,000 people watching and talking and drinking adult beverages.
A lot of adult bets.
And betting on you. You know, your threesome, they're betting who's hitting the green or who's going to hit their ball close to the hole on the three guys you're playing with, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Well, thank you so much for hosting me today. It was really a lot of fun. And also, everyone should keep your ears open, and I'll announce when we have a video produced of Tiffany and I out on the golf course, and she's giving historical background of the course and advice as we played through the course. And it was just so much fun today, and I hope that you can join us and say hi.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd love to, and I hope you guys do come out.
Don't you want to meet her? She is so much fun. She's really neat. Now, the video from our round together will be on Golf Smarter TV channel sometime in the next few weeks. But in the meantime, if you'd like to get a visual introduction to Tiffany, go to golfsmarter.com and click on the Golf Smarter Scottsdale Adventure link and watch the short video invitation. Well, on that page, you'll also see photos of the courses we're playing, the pricing, and all the details of the adventure weekend. Now, just a reminder that you can save $100 right off the top of the adventure when you join Golf Smarter for members only. That's just one of the benefits of being a member. But the main benefits are that you get a full interview every single week and complete access to our archives. Now, if you're new, that means you've discovered Golf Smarter in the last year or two. Then there are some really incredible and helpful interviews you won't want to miss. We've done over 250, so there's an easy way to catch up. You can listen on a daily basis, whatever you'd like, but please join Golf Smarter for members only. Get more content, save some money. I'd also like to remind you that if you've not already done so, I'd really appreciate your support nominating Golf Smarter for the 2010 People's Choice Podcast Awards. The People's Choice Podcast Awards have opened up their nominations, and I hope to make it to the top 10 in one of three lists. If you would please nominate us in these categories, People's Choice Award, Best Produced, and the category of Sports. You can only make a nomination one time, and the deadline is coming up November 21. And if we make it to the top 10, then you can vote as often as you'd like. So to make your nomination, please click on the Podcast Awards banner at the top of the page at golfsmarter.com. We close our show each week with six words on golf. Now this week, we get six words that you'll probably hear me say a lot when we're down in Scottsdale. Thanks to Mark Glubiak, who asks, "Did you see where it went?" Next week for members only, Craig Sigel of break80golf.com says that you can get lower scores without practice. If you have any comments, suggestions, or questions about how to make the Golf Smarter Adventure work for your budget, I want to make this trip work for everyone. So just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.